This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Welcome to Raw Beauty Talks. I'm your host, Erin Treloar. Ready to peer behind the highlight reel and all those polished pictures of the world's biggest influencers and wellness experts? We're going to uncover what beauty, health, and wellness truly means in today's world. As someone who really struggled with disordered eating and negative body image, I became a health coach because I'm passionate about redefining health and wellness so that it's less about the weight on the scale and more about how we feel. Let's pull back the curtain for some raw beauty talks. Hello, beauties. It's Erin here, and I'm back for a solo episode. Today, I'm going to address something that comes up all the time, which is, what can I do to stop thinking about food so often? I can't tell you how many people I connect with, either for a breakthrough call or in the sessions or on the webinars that I do, that say that they feel like they're addicted to food and they can't stop thinking about food. So whether they're thinking about the macros that they're eating or what's coming up for the next meal, or they're feeling ashamed of what they ate at the previous meal and feeling worried that they ate too much, or maybe, you know, pre-planning what they're going to have when they're out for dinner at a restaurant. I have been here and I know how freaking exhausting it is to be in this place. And the reality is that our thoughts have such an impact on the actions that we take. So when we have thoughts that produce emotions or feelings of guilt, it changes the way that we eat. It changes the way we approach food, and it changes the chemicals in our body. We release more cortisol and experience a stress response in the body, which impacts literally every single part of ourselves. So I'm really excited today. I've written some notes on ways that I have found over many years now to help reduce food-based thoughts and body thoughts as well, because often the two are tied together hand in hand. All right. Now, I want to preface all of this by saying that food is absolutely necessary for our survival, of course. So it is normal to think about food. And in the same way that there are people who are incredibly passionate about hockey, or people who are incredibly passionate about digging up dinosaur bones or growing gardens, there are some people who are really passionate about food and who absolutely love mixing together different ingredients and creating beautiful dishes or putting together recipes. I have to say that is actually not me, despite the fact I'm a health coach. I find at this point in my life that I don't want to spend all day thinking about food. I have other things like this podcast and the work I'm doing and my kids and my husband and self-care and all the things that I would rather be focused on. So I want to acknowledge, first of all, that it is normal to think about food during the day. We have to plan our next meals. We've got to check in with our body to see what it's needing. We got to tune into those hunger and fullness levels. However, some people are going to think about food a lot, and some people are going to eat for fuel and move on from there. There's no right or wrong way to do this. There's no one size fits all. You're probably getting tired of me saying this now, but everybody is different. Everyone is different. All right, so let's dive in. Before we get to the tools, I just want you to take a moment to really think about and bring some awareness to the quality of your own thoughts when it comes to food. The thoughts that we have about food are just as important as what we are putting in our body. I'm going to say that again. The thoughts that we have about food are just as important to our health and well-being as what we are putting in our body. The thoughts that we have create a reaction within our body. They either allow us to feel more open, more at ease, more grounded, excited. They may cause us to release dopamine or serotonin. So we want to be really mindful of the thoughts that we have without judging them. So take a moment to think about your quality of thoughts prior to eating. This is the period of time when you start thinking about food, planning what you are going to eat, and leading up to that next meal or snack. And then take a moment to think about your quality of thoughts while you are eating. Are you eating in a distracted manner? Are you thinking about something stressful, or are you really present with the food that you're putting into your body? Are you counting calories and macros? Are you giving yourself the gears saying that you shouldn't be eating this much, or that you need to cut back, or that you shouldn't have had that thing? What are the quality of your thoughts while you are eating? And then take a moment to notice, acknowledge the thoughts that you have after eating. Do you feel that they are spiraling? Are they leaving you filled with guilt? How do you feel in your body before, during, and after eating? If you notice that there's tension, if you notice that it feels like there's disgust or shame or restriction, there is an opportunity here to do a little bit of a deep dive and to work on your relationship. So as you take a moment to really reflect on your thoughts and the quality of your thoughts around food, we practice non-judgment. So we don't have to say it's so bad that I think about food this way. I mean, of course you do. Look at the world that we're living in. Look at the messages that you've received. Look at the messages you received in your family home. Be really gentle with yourself. We're just bringing awareness so that we can find some acceptance for where we are, knowing that we can always change and evolve. Fast forward to the end of 2024. Think of your goals for a second. What can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? If you want to learn a new language, you absolutely should get Babbel. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that really don't help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversation, and Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teachings so you're ready to practice what you learned in the real world. If you're heading to another country anytime soon, start using Babbel a few weeks before you go to learn basics like how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants without having to consult language apps while you're away. So fun. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/rawbeautytalks. Get 55% off at babbel.com/rawbeautytalks. That's spelled babbel.com/rawbeautytalks. Rules and restrictions may apply. This episode is brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With Lola V, that dilemma is history. We all put our hair through the ringer. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm. Enter Lola V's bestsellers, the Glossing Detangler and the Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. They're your hair's new best friends. For a limited time, you get 15% off your entire order at lolav.com. Just use the code RAWBEAUTYTALKS at checkout. Lola V is all about naturally derived plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, cruelty-free and vegan. That's 15% off your order at lolavie.com with promo code RAWBEAUTYTALKS. You can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Tell them I sent you over. All right, let's talk about some tools. I've got 6 tools here for you. The very first thing I want to ensure is that you are eating enough and eating consistently. This is really important. As soon as we aren't eating enough, the mind-body system goes into a survival state where it begins looking for food. And part of that process is thinking about food. So if you aren't eating enough for your body and its nutrition requirements, you are going to think about food more often. And if you're not eating consistently, your blood sugar levels are dropping in between your meals and snacks. And when our blood sugar levels drop below a certain level, it signals to the body that we need more fuel. It's a really beautiful, simple system, kind of like filling your car up with gas. When the gas gets too low, a little light goes on that reminds you to go fill up again. So as soon as your blood sugar levels dip low enough, that little light or that signal will go on. And one of the things that our body starts to do, again, is think about food, plan for food, think about where we're going to get it, think about what we're going to have. We start experiencing cravings. So it's really important, especially if you're on the road to recovery and healing your relationship with food and your body, to make sure that you are eating enough and eating consistently. I always say every 2 to 3 hours. And I find that within a few weeks of doing this, people who I'm working with one-on-one or who are in the Food Freedom Program begin to notice a substantial reduction to the number of food thoughts they are having. When we're eating enough and we're eating consistently, we are able to eat the food and then our focus can go back to whatever it is that we're doing in our life. It can go back to being present. It can go back to working. It can go back to parenting. It can go back to creating. It can go back to finding joy until we get hungry again. And then, of course, we're going to think about food. And when we start to notice that we're thinking about food, it's often an invitation to actually go get something to eat. It is a sign of hunger. So make sure that you are eating enough and eating consistently. Our bodies do not know the difference between a voluntary diet and true starvation. So when we cut back on or modify our typical food intake, like we do on a diet, which is why I don't recommend them, our body and brain work to ensure that we are well fed. Thank you, body. Thank you for doing such an incredible job at keeping me alive. Start listening to the body. All right. Number two is do not cut out foods or restrict. There is a case where obviously we need to cut out foods, and this is with allergies or if we're experiencing a lot of symptoms around foods. So you know who you are. If you're listening right now and you eat dairy and you feel like you are going to throw up or you have diarrhea or you're really gassy or breakouts, those are all signs that your body is telling you that this food isn't working for it in this exact moment. Otherwise, I really suggest that we avoid cutting out foods or restricting. One of the main reasons women in particular tend to restrict their food intake is because we feel shame around our body, around weight. One study, though, that was recently done found that weight-related guilt and shame were both associated with greater binge eating symptoms. Interestingly enough, intuitive eating, which is the kind of eating that I teach, intuitive eating behaviors have been found to reduce weight-related shame and binge eating. In intuitive eating, we don't restrict or cut out any foods. What tends to happen when we do that is that we hyper-focus or fixate on those foods. I always say that the most addictive type of food, it's not sugar. It's not carbs. It's not, you know, this, that, or the other thing. It's the food that you have told yourself you are not going to eat. The most addictive type of food is the food you have told yourself you are not allowed. Just take a second to think about that. When you binge or overeat, does it tend to be on some sort of food you have told yourself you cannot have? So, there are things like red meat that I really don't eat a lot of. I feel the ick when I eat it. I did try last month trying to incorporate a bit more of it because I was iron deficient. I don't know, you guys. It just doesn't sit right with me. And so I'm going to honor that. So I don't say that I don't eat it. It's just that I'm choosing not to have it. And it has nothing to do with weight. It is really a personal choice. So it's not to say that there aren't foods that maybe you eat less of, but I would avoid using any language where you're saying, I'm not eating this for 30 days, or I'm never having that again, or I'm completely cutting it out. We want to move into a place of choice where it is an option and something that maybe, you know, just doesn't resonate with you. Number three is to learn the difference between true physical hunger and emotional hunger or fatigue. So true physical hunger is a physical symptom or a physical feeling. It is that aching in your tummy, a hollowness in your tummy, the start of a headache, colder hands, more difficulty focusing. It's a true physical feeling in the body. Now, if you have had a rocky relationship with food, you may find it difficult to know when you're truly hungry. Or what I find often happens is that people can recognize when they're hungry, when they're at a 10 out of 10 on that hunger scale. They're not able to really tune into it when they're at a 1 or a 2 on the hunger scale. Now, ideally, we want to start planning for food at about a 2 or a 3 on the hunger scale, and we want to eat at about a 5, 6, or a 7. Beyond that, our blood sugar levels have really started to dip. And what you will experience are tons of food-based thoughts. You will experience a lot of cravings for refined sugars, chocolate, refined carbohydrates. And while there's nothing wrong with those foods, really, they're an incredible source of pleasure. Who doesn't love some chocolate? Who doesn't love bread? But if we are always craving those things and only eating those things, then of course we're going to feel out of balance. We're not going to feel aligned, and we're not getting a beautiful assortment of micro and macro nutrients. So one of the things I want you to bring a little awareness to is when you go into the kitchen or you go to grab a snack, ask yourself, am I hungry? And notice if there's any physical hunger signs there. If there are, this is a great time to feed yourself something. Ideally, you want to start to really listen to the whisper of those physical hunger signals, because when we feed ourselves at that lower level of hunger, we're able to make different food choices. That's where we can say, like, oh, the grain bowl with roasted veggies and chicken and this amazing dressing sounds good, versus ravaging through a bag of chips at the end of the day when you're 10 out of 10 hungry. All right. If you ask yourself that question, am I hungry? And there are no physical hunger signals or signs there, and you know you just ate an hour ago, it hasn't been 2 or 3 hours, then you may be hungry for something emotionally, meaning you may be stressed, or you may be lonely, or you could be bored, or you might need some excitement or more creativity in your life. We're going to talk about that a couple of steps down a little bit further. But these first three steps really are about beginning to identify when you are truly physically hungry, and then ensuring that you're eating enough and eating consistently. It's also important not to cut out or restrict foods, because that will have you hyper-focused on all of those foods that you're trying not to eat. If you just focus on these first three steps, I guarantee you, you will experience a reduction in food-based thoughts. So take notes, jot these suggestions down, start with asking yourself, I am hungry, when you go into the kitchen or before you eat a meal. Notice if you're physically hungry and give yourself permission to eat. I can guarantee most of you out there are not eating enough. You're not eating enough, and you are definitely not eating consistently enough. For anyone struggling with food-based thoughts, this is probably the number one place I would start. Okay, let's dive into the next three tools. Step number four piggybacks off of step number three. So we've asked ourselves, am I hungry? And we've identified whether there are those physical hunger signals. If those are not there, then we're noticing that maybe we're emotionally hungry for something, or we're tired, or we're stressed. So number four is to bring awareness to what is happening around you that has nothing to do with food. Nothing to do with food. A lot of food thoughts or behaviors around food, like controlling what we're eating, counting calories, obsessing over it, even negative body image thoughts, are a big, beautiful arrow pointing us to an area of our life that needs extra support and attention. I don't know if you've ever been having a great day, perhaps, and maybe you're going out at night with some friends and you start getting ready. You feel great. You've got good music on and you're feeling pretty good in your skin. And you go out that night and eat a bunch of food at a restaurant. You're not really mindful or tuned in. You're just having, you know, whatever's there, whatever felt good in the moment. You have some drinks. You stay up late so you don't get a great sleep. And you wake up the next morning and you feel like garbage. When the physical body feels like garbage, the thinking mind and the quality of your thoughts will also be like garbage. I don't know if you've ever had a day where you felt on top of things at work and quite settled and grounded. And then perhaps you got an email with some distressing news or anxiety-provoking news or negative feedback from somebody. And it really set your nervous system off. When your nervous system is dysregulated, or when there's a lot of stress in the body and our cortisol levels are high, we move into fight, flight, freeze. Again, your quality of thoughts is going to be dysregulated as well. So oftentimes we can start to tell this story that if we're having a lot of food thoughts, then we need to change the way that we're eating, or we should continue to stay focused on those food thoughts until we come to some sort of solution. But oftentimes the quality of your thoughts is more of a reflection as to what's going on in the physical body and what is happening around you. When we start to identify that, oh, when I feel really dysregulated, I no longer think the same. It really changes the quality of my thoughts. Then we can start taking actions to ensure that we are more regulated. Which brings us to number four, all right? Regulating your nervous system. You most likely know that you have a nervous system. Some of you are like, yes, I am a nervous system. I have a nervous system that was very overactive for a very long time. So this really resonates with me. And I think many of you will have experienced it as well. We all have a nervous system, our autonomic nervous system, which is this incredible system that allows us to stay safe. So when we are in a spot of danger, the sympathetic nervous system response clicks on and we move into fight, flight, freeze. This allows us to flee a lion if the lion is in the room, or to fight back if somebody is putting us in a difficult position. When we are in fight, flight, different parts of the brain begin to activate, and we are no longer able to look at things through the same lens. I want you to imagine that you are holding your hands above your head in a big circle. So when we are in our state of parasympathetic response, rest, digest, it's like we have this big lens that we can look through. There are lots of options. We can see lots of possibilities. And as soon as we move into fight, flight, freeze, it is like we are looking through a little paper towel roll. Everything becomes hyper-focused on survival. And when we are in this state, many people will begin having almost looping thoughts. They'll go back to thought patterns that served them at one point. And these neural pathways have been formed over a long time. So if you notice that often when you're in a stress state, you begin to hyperfixate on food or your body or both, then you have a neural pathway that in a stress response automatically goes to that type of thinking. Some people focus on other things. but you're somebody who loops and thinks about food and your body image. So it is normal to have that sympathetic nervous response, and it serves us in moments when we really need all systems to focus and move us through something challenging. But when we are operating in that space all the time, it is very hard on the body. So one of the best things that you can learn to do is to reduce stress and to regulate your nervous system. There are so many tools to help you regulate your nervous system. One of the easiest and most potent ones is using the breath. So I'll talk about the 5-5-7 breath, which is one of my go-tos. When it comes to breath work, you can do 4-4-4, you can do 4-4-6, you can do square breathing. All of these are great. Just find one that resonates with you. You don't need 20 different types of breath work. I mean, even if you have 3 of these in your back pocket, that's great. 5-5-7 breathing is when we breathe in for a count of 5. We hold our breath for a count of 5, and then we exhale for 7. That elongated exhale is so important because it informs the nervous system, hey, we're calm. We are cool. We are collected. Everything is all good here. So let's do a round right now. We'll breathe out, exhaling, and then breathing in for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hold. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hold. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hold. Inhale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hold. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Exhale. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It feels so simple, but it works. And while you may not notice an immediate change in your thoughts, it is impacting the physical body and it is building more resilience in your nervous system. So I would recommend doing about 10 rounds of that. And if you're somebody who tends to run more anxious or stressed, you should be doing this every day, 10 rounds of 5-5-7 breathing. This is personal training for your nervous system. And in the same way that when we start working out at the gym, if we do 10 rounds of arm curls, we're not going to see a difference right away. We might feel a little bit pain, but it takes time to build and shift the way that our body works. So stick with it. Another thing you can do is run cold water on your hands, place cold water on your face, do a cold burst in the shower. This stimulates the vagus nerve, which again signals to the body that you are safe. Going for a walk outside, moving your body, getting exercise is an incredible way to regulate your nervous system. Bonus points if you go for a walk in nature, which also regulates the nervous system, or you can co-regulate with a friend, a coworker, or somebody who really meets you where you're at, matching the energy that you want to be. So this is that person where you always feel better after you go for a walk with them. You always feel like they support you in coming back to where your feet are. So walking outside, bonus points if it's in nature, and bonus points if it's with a friend. Another way to regulate the nervous system, getting enough sleep. This is so key. When you are exhausted or tired, you may start to notice that you are not as resilient to those food-based thoughts. And then the last one is ensuring that you stay hydrated and that you are really mindful of stimulants. So if you're somebody who's looping a lot, alcohol will trigger that, maybe not in the moment, but I can guarantee the next day those food thoughts will likely get louder. And a lot of coffee can also do the same. So really sticking with one coffee in the morning if you are going to have caffeine, and then sipping water, herbal teas throughout the day. Okay, the last tip to help reduce food-based thoughts. Practice thought challenging and self-compassion. sometimes we get into these loops with our thinking where we're counting or we're feeling guilty about it. And if we bring awareness to the thoughts, we realize that they're not actually completely true. It's a lot of worry that's pulling us out of the present moment, thinking about what happened in the past, thinking about what's coming down the line in the future. So in these moments, can you bring yourself into the present moment, noticing what you see around you? What do the walls look like? What are the leaves on the trees doing? What smells are around you? What do you feel, like physically feel in your body? So bringing yourself into the present moment to help disconnect and unhook from those unhelpful thoughts. Then you may want to write the thought down that you are having and really ask yourself, is this 100% true? And if it's not, what is a truth? What is a new idea or thought that feels more compassionate, that feels more loving, that feels more safe? And the last piece of this is practicing self-compassion. Self-compassion sounds so fluffy, and you're like, what is that going to do? That's not going to help anything. But it stops the spiral. It stops the spiral of negative food thoughts. When we meet ourselves with self-compassion in those moments, it just provides this soft mattress for us to land on. And from there, we can begin to bounce back into a better place rather than continuing to spiral down that deep, dark staircase. So when you're thinking about food, and oh, I can't believe I ate that, and oh, I wish I hadn't, and I feel so sick now. Tomorrow, I'm starting a different thing. What I would say is first, bringing awareness to the fact that the quality of thoughts have shifted and that you're repeating a pattern of thinking that really hasn't gotten you that far to this point. And then meeting yourself and speaking to yourself as if you are a close friend. So in that situation, I might say, hey, it's so understandable that you feel that way. It didn't feel aligned what you just ate, or you feel like you ate more than you wanted to. But here's the thing. You are so much more than what you just ate. And there are people that care about you. Let's just notice what was happening during that time when we ate like that so that we can carry that awareness and that knowledge and that knowing with us as we move forward. Everybody overeats sometimes. You're not a robot, and your body knows what to do with the food. You can trust that. So I'm not necessarily flipping the thought, and I'm not dismissing the way that I feel. I'm acknowledging the feelings, I'm normalizing them, and offering some suggestions as to how we move forward. The more that you practice speaking to yourself compassionately, the more easy it will become, and it really is such a game changer. So let's go through those six tips again really quickly. The first one is to ensure that you're eating enough and eating consistently. Number two, do not cut out foods or restrict. Number three, learn the difference between true physical hunger and emotional hunger or fatigue. Number four, bring awareness to what is happening around you that has nothing to do with food. A lot of food thoughts or controlling might be an invitation to explore another area that needs extra support or attention. Number five is to regulate the nervous system. And number six is to practice mindfulness, thought challenging, and more self-compassion. Okay, there were so many tips in there, so many tools. What I would recommend is picking one, and I would most likely start with ensuring that you are eating enough and eating consistently. So starting with breakfast, within an hour of waking up, eating every 2 to 3 hours, include a variety of macro and micronutrients, and avoid cutting anything out. I know this can feel scary when you start, but trust me, it's going to feel so good. And it's incredible when the food thoughts begin to reduce, what other thoughts are available to you? And I have seen people start businesses. I've seen people realize that they actually want to have kids when they didn't think that they could. I've seen people start putting themselves out there to date. I mean, the possibilities are endless. These food thoughts, they create a fog in our mind and they really have an impact. So take the time to continue working on them. You can always tune into one of my webinar replays at any point, and I share more tools in there to support you in ending the battle with food and your body, moving to a space of food freedom. I swear, this is the new paradigm for wellness, for eating, and I'm just going to keep shouting it from the rooftop until everybody is on board, because I know that a lot of people don't have these tools. So I hope you found this episode informative. I hope you feel that there are some tools that you can use. Please take a screenshot, share it on Instagram, tag me at Raw Beauty Talks, and let me know what your aha moment or your takeaway was from this episode. I'm also so appreciative if you have a moment to leave a quick review. It informs me about what is helpful to you, what you like about the show. And as always, feel free to let me know if there's anything you would like more of or any changes that you would like to see. I create this for you. And so keep talking. This is a conversation, hence Raw Beauty Talks. All right, everyone, I'm officially losing my voice. I don't know what's going on there, but I will leave this. Next week's episode is so good. I cannot wait for you to find out who our guest is. Take what resonates, leave the rest behind, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. Please take a moment to rate, review, or follow on your favorite podcast app and share this episode with someone that you think could benefit. Join the Raw Beauty Talks community at Raw Beauty Talks, and remember, it's your story, your body, your mind, and your journey. So think about what resonates with you and leave the rest behind. I'll see you next week.
Mads, I am obsessed with our brand pillars.
You mean vagina sweat, good branding, and being Jewish blooded queens, Scout?
Sure, but not quite. I love that OKSIS podcast and our sisterhood is made up of women who are down for main character energy only, who take care of their mental health, and who are standing in their personal power as entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah, that too, Scout, that too. We should probably introduce ourselves. Hello, everyone. I am Mads.
And I am Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
Join us on OKSIS podcast every Monday for some sisterly banter, nourishing mental health, a whole lot of silliness, and inspiring interviews from the raddest female guests in the game.
We promise it'll be a good time.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood!
Do you ever feel like you're struggling through motherhood? You're not alone. I'm Erica Jossa, host of the MomWell podcast, therapist and mom of three. Join me each Wednesday as I sit down with guests, including psychologists, pediatricians, psychiatrists, fertility specialists, lactation consultants, and more to unravel the myths of motherhood. With expert advice, practical tips, self-love, and some coping skills to help you along the way, you can become the mother you want to be. Listen to the MomWell podcast at momwell.com/listen or on your favorite podcast platform.